Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and once again, I'm with Roy Snell in sunny and warm Houston, Texas. We're concluding up the SCCE Utility and Energies Conference 2016 here in Houston, and this is our sort of wrap-up episode. So, Roy, I wanted to maybe start off by pitching to you a couple of questions. There were a couple of fellows named Sam and Bill, and anything you might have learned from them?
Right. When I go to these conferences, I spend all day trying to find people and talk to them and learn. And actually, Sam is short for Samantha. I met her last year. She didn't feel as though she had a lot to contribute to the profession because she was relatively new to the profession. And I encouraged her. I said, there's always something people can write about. And for some reason, we got off on a topic of how to make the most out of networking at these conferences. And she ended up writing an article for us about making the most out of it. And it just so happened she was really adept at pulling out all of these. There's the obvious things, is bring business cards and give them to people. But she had a lot of really innovative suggestions. Our staff saw the article and thought it was so interesting. They distributed it here. I think they're going to distribute it at most conferences. I think they'll make a one-page flyer out of it. So people, particularly new people who come to these conferences, don't really know how to do it. And frankly, I know some people who don't know how to do it even after 20 years. They also liked it so much they're going to do a video, which should be released in the next couple of weeks, an animated video of suggestions about how to get more out of these things, whether there are our conferences or anybody else's. And it kind of plays into the Bill thing. On the complete flip side of it, I met a guy named Bill today, and he was a speaker. And sometimes speakers just fly in and fly out. They don't hang out with the people. And frankly, we would prefer if they hung out with the people a little while. We all know it. A lot of these folks' time is short and expensive and so forth. But I watched him go to lunch and hang with the folks. And he and I talked about it a little bit. And he really feels that people who don't do that, who are coming, he's an outside counsel. He's here to help share his knowledge, but to build some business too. You know, everybody's got to get a little something out of it. And but he believes his colleagues miss the opportunity to build that network and talking to people, particularly after you just gave a talk, which everybody loved his presentation. But I noticed that he was charismatic, isn't the right word. He's not the typical person you'd look at and say.
How about authoritative?
He was very authoritative. He really knew what comes from knowing the material. But he was real good with people, and he was kind of funny and low-key and easy and didn't take himself too seriously. And he was handing out one-page flyers, not marketing pieces, I would say, but they're now called infographics, but it was kind of like that about his practice and his couple of his colleagues' practice. And I just thought it was a much better deal than handing out business cards or some sea of text marketing piece created by a PR guy. So, yeah, it was fun meeting those two folks and different ends of the spectrum. I get a lot out of meeting them. And in the case of Samantha, we got out a lot out of getting her involved.
We got a lot out of getting her involved. She was on the speaker selection committee for this conference. She was on the opening panel. She is closing today. She has been an ambassador for SCCE the entire time she's been here.
Yeah.
And she's just been a wonderful addition.
She's one of those people who are floating around in anonymity, who are underutilized. And maybe, you know, people can get a little frustrated by being underutilized, but somebody gives them a chance and they're almost instantly successful. I talked to three people without mentioning why I was asking who was the best person on the panel. And there were some great people on that panel, including Marjorie Doyle, who is usually the number one person that people answer, you know, in terms of who is the most helpful. All three of them said Samantha. It's the beauty of conferences and professional associations is trying to help unleash the talent, you know.
You know, that's a really interesting thing you brought up, and I might want to explore it a little more now, which is the opportunities for service within the SCCE. Yeah. But it's in large part because the organization and our profession are relatively new.
Yes.
If you took someone in that same position in a law firm and they tried to do this with the ABA, they'd be stuck for 15 years, you know, on a subcommittee doing not much. Yeah. And because this organization and this profession is so relatively new, you know, basically you guys created it in the 90s and the early aughts, there's a lot of still open opportunities for people to become involved and become a leader. And that's a great example.
Yeah, I'll tell you a real interesting way. Whatever association or profession anybody's in, social media has changed the entire landscape. It used to be, to become a household name in a profession, you had to slog away for 20 years and crack into bigger opportunities. Now you can go out on LinkedIn, a thing we have called SCCENet, and Twitter and some other things, and contribute like blogs. And contribute like crazy. Nobody's filtering your stuff. Nobody's deciding, you know, nobody's telling you what to tweet, what not to tweet. If you give helpful information, people are going to think it's helpful. They're going to recognize your name. And there are several, you know, handful, a dozen of people who have become infamous in our profession simply through social media. But we work very hard to try and have a lot of opportunities. We really see our job is not to make a few great opportunities for a few people, but to make as many opportunities as many people. We have 1,300 speakers a year. We publish three magazines, all the social media I mentioned. We're doing podcasts now, and everybody can get involved. And I just think you got to have somebody making a little bit of an effort to go to that individual and find out what they know. I'm going to give you one more example of someone I met recently. Can't remember exactly where, but she was brand new to the compliance department. She'd been about a year. I said, well, you ought to write an article or do something. And she says, are you kidding me? I'm nobody. And I said, where'd you come from? And she said, pharmacy. How many years were you in pharmacy operations? And it's like 8 or 9 years, something like that. And I said, in your department of compliance, is there anybody who knows how to communicate with the pharmacy folks about their compliance risks, controls they need to put in place, how important their controls are? Is there anybody who knows that better than you? And she's, you know, kind of sheepishly said, of course not. And I said, that's the point, you know, is everybody comes into this profession, most people come into this profession with some angle where I don't care how inexperienced they are, you know, maybe need a year to figure out the whole seven elements and the general principles. But yeah, it's a lot easier than you think. And I'm sorry, I can't have a conversation without saying this. I just think so many other social groups pick winners and losers. And it's all about the club and who's special and who isn't. And it's a trap. And every day people are calling up talking about how we can carve this up into a special little group. And we have fought for 20 stinking years, and it's a fight every month to stop people from trying to pick winners and losers. And we want to treat everybody equally.
And the last thing I'd like to just throw in addition to the opportunities for professional growth that you would have at the SCCE, frankly, there's no other way, better way to get your name out if you want to grow within the profession than to be a speaker, than to be on a committee. If you have the opportunity to speak in front of the number of people here or speak at an event at the CEI, the annual conference, you just can't beat it.
Yeah, it's a great thing. We have 75 conferences a year, about 100 audio conferences, and So it's much easier to say yes to more people, and there's a lot of opportunities. And one last tip, I guess, if anybody's listening and thinks, you know, they got shut down once, yeah, you're going to get shut down once. Everybody gets, so you can get the first job you interviewed for. You know, if you want to get in, even with as many opportunities as we have, you can't try once. You got to try five times. And I'll tell you another trick that I learned from some guys sitting not too far from me and some others like Gabe Imperato. Don't suggest one speaker topic. Suggest three or four. Maybe one in partnership with somebody else for any particular conference. Any salesman will tell you that you don't ask, do you want to buy this, yes or no? You ask, which of these do you want to buy? And if you give us four topics to consider, I've sat and watched these committees. For some reason, there's this huge tendency to say, well, this is the best one, so let's pick it of the four. Of course, they're not going to take more than one, 99.9% of the time, but they're not offended by getting several suggestions.
Let me pick up on your comments on Bill, because for me, his presentation was the revelation for me at this conference. It's a lawyer named William Johnson from Holland & Knight in Florida, and he spoke about supply chain and supply chain or liability through the supply chain for human trafficking. And frankly, he gave us some issues to consider that I'd never thought about in the FCPA world, and some very clear takeaways that we need to implement in our for our clients or our corporations. So I found his presentation either the most scary or the most enlightening, depending on what the particular thought was. But he gave an excellent presentation. As well, I thought, you know, one of the very top of the event.
You know, I had a lot of people come back and talk to me about that. And what was interesting is in between sessions, I was interviewed by Walters Kluwers about a survey we're just releasing. What are the top five risk area or things compliance officers are going to worry about in 2016? And on the list, or for some reason, it caused her to ask me about third-party risk and why is everybody so focused on and interested in? And I said, wow, it's a combination of things. First of all, it's relatively a new risk. I really don't think people paid attention to 10 years ago what their subcontractors were doing. Then the enforcement community made it clear that you need to pay attention. And unfortunately, for some events for some big name, big brand companies, the topic of human trafficking has come up where they were subbing out work to some unsavory companies in some countries that don't have a strong case for the rule of law. And it's not just that it's just another fine and penalty. It's a fine and penalty about using people that are too young in your workforce and unreasonable hours and horrible pay. And it's one thing to commit a crime that is rather new and innovative. People don't seem to get as upset as if you commit a crime or do something unsavory and some problem that we solved 50 years ago, you know. He's really onto an interesting topic, human trafficking and some of the other things related to that, that has really caught the attention of any multinational or any organization that partners in any way with the companies in outside the U.S. or even subcontracts to a single individual. I've seen a single individual in another country cause great harm to companies that are otherwise doing a pretty good job.
And that really leads to the next point I want to ask you about, but I'm going to wind around to get there. Because the subject of human trafficking and the California supply chain law, the sanctions, if you fail to follow the law, are not a huge fine. It's not like the FCPA. It is damage to your reputation.
Oh, my God.
And yesterday I saw a presentation, we saw a presentation by two lawyers or compliance professionals from General Electric about conflicts of interest. And they started off by saying that the only thing you really have is your reputation. And they gave a couple of examples of companies that had gotten into financial trouble because of conflicts of interest by the senior management. And The best or the most striking was Chesapeake, where the CEO had personal stakes in property that was competing with the company. He also was obtaining loans from vendors and shareholders to fund these activities in conflict with the company. And after this was publicly announced, the share price just tanked, and they've had a series of problems since then. But it was really, do you trust the people who are running it? And there was absolutely nothing different in the financials before or after. And it leads to what I wanted to ask you about next, which is influence, because it showed that there's both positive and negative influence.
Yeah. I'm going to share with you a real odd thing that just popped into my head. The first job, no, second job I had out of college, I worked for a guy, and he was not spit and polished. He was blue collar isn't the right word, but just a very wise individual. And he talked about an idea that I will phrase this way, that when you go to partner with anybody, you should probably try to get to know their family or their colleagues or those who they surround themselves with. Because an individual may be able to fool you, but many individuals probably can't fool you. And frankly, it leads back to this influence thing. There was a discussion at lunch table today about, we have tried over the years to do sessions. I have failed to provide education on the most important part of it being a compliance officer, which influence, communication, persuasion, negotiation, compromise, motivation. I think it's a big part. If you would just ask anybody what percentage of the job is it, they'd say at least 10%. Some might say for the chief compliance officer, it's 50%. So shouldn't the training that the professional association provides be 50%? Or 10%. We have tried to do 2% and they won't come. And an unassuming student from India was sitting at the table and says to me, we can get that almost anywhere else. We can get it through audio conferences and YouTube videos and books and other conferences. When I come here, this is the only place I can get the intricacies of the role of the compliance officer, the function of the compliance program, and some stuff on the risk areas. And I just wanted to smack my forehead and say, I can't believe it. I haven't figured this out in 20 years. It's just, for some reason, doesn't fit this module. So immediately, this model. And so immediately, I thought of maybe what we'll do is I'm going to go back and try and find 10 ways to get interpersonal skills training out to compliance professionals for free. Social media, blog posts, articles, video, whatever we can do. Maybe a library of books they can buy from that we just make them easier to find.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That is interesting, yeah.
It's a tough one because, you know, Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, HealthSouth, Penn State University. Most of them had problems the fifth grader could have told you were against the law. It wasn't vague regs, wasn't too many regs, and it wasn't that they didn't know. Some of them knew for 10 years. It was that no one who sat in the room could, if there was a person in the room who thought the problem should be fixed, could influence the rest of the people in the room. That's why our profession was created. Those who met before couldn't get it done often enough. And so we need people with the skills in this area. Oh, one other thing, I'm going to talk to Debbie Trokos that runs this compliance certification board, and I really shouldn't be mentioning this because I could hit a brick wall, and I can think of a reason why she might not do this, but maybe we could work it into, you know, encouraging people through a CEU quota, like one of your 20 CEUs every year, whatever it is, has to be an interpersonal skills training. And the only trick to that is if there aren't interpersonal skills or management skill questions on the test, she might be reluctant. But maybe post-test CEUs it could apply to. But we really need to get people in our profession to understand that's key and focus a little bit more on it.
Now let me pitch this to you then. How about you get Christy Grant Hart to do five videos on influence around her book.
Tom, that's a brilliant idea. You know, there's another individual who was really not well known to many people, an expat living in the UK, and we asked her to help us out with a few things. Turns out she's got man skills, and she just finished this book. And it really emphasizes, frankly, a couple things. One that Joe Murphy picked out that I missed, that it really shines a positive light on this profession and leaves out all this woe is me, this is a tough job stuff, and talks about how great it is that we are accomplishing these things for society. And she also spends a great deal of time on the people skills side of the job, as opposed to keep beating risk areas or how to audit, how to investigate. I promise you I'll do that. I will get that done.
Great.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Why haven't we heard anything from Walmart's investigation on bribery? Seems to me that was 2010?
2012 when the story broke.
12.
Right.
And so was it still too early? 4 years? Three and a half,
probably, given the size of the company and the high-profile nature of it. Yeah. It's interesting today, the FCPA professor, our good friend, wrote a blog post that said that their spending post-story breaking on compliance was going to be north of $800 million. And he used that as an entree to argue that if they'd had an incentive to actually follow the law before they got in trouble, in the form of a compliance defense, that might have been a good thing. And I guess my question would be, well, gosh, as a corporate citizen, aren't you a good corporate citizen? Aren't you required to follow the law anyway? And if the company had spent $2 million in the 37 years that the FCPA has been in existence, or $4 million or $5 million, you know, on compliance, maybe they wouldn't have gotten themselves into the trouble they got into. But everything about the case is huge. The allegations were huge. World's biggest retailer. You know, you had conduct allegedly going up to the then president.
Wasn't there a lot of evidence, too, shared by somebody shipping a box to the press or something? Wasn't there lots of copies of memos and emails?
That was in the original New York Times story, which broke the scandal. The alleged bagman had all the documentation that he shared with the New York Times. So lots of documentation. And, you know, we've got this huge amount of spend that they've had. But let me just also temper this with whatever they may or may not have done beforehand, whether they were a good corporate citizen or not, they have become a great corporate compliance citizen since then. They have been at events. They have been open about what they've done. They have not shared the results of their investigation, and that's, you know, proper for them.
Right.
Not to do so, but they have been very open. They have done, they have published annual reports on the state of their compliance program. They have split their compliance function into compliance and ethics. Not many companies have really done that.
Yeah.
And they have shared that information. And I really commend them for what they've done. I think they are a leader in our space now. And, you know, whatever the resolution will be, we'll just have to wait and find out. I just think it's big.
I had someone tell me today that the safest place to eat food today is Chipotle. And I have seen it time and time again. I'll tell you a real quick funny story. Tap Pharmaceuticals ran into a little trouble, pretty big settlement, hired one of the best and brightest out of our profession, spent a boatload of money, and then went back out, and they would buy a booth at conferences and display their compliance program to teach others. It was just stunning. They also wanted to show support and give back to the profession. So they sponsored this thing we used to do, baseball caps. Mm. And their logo was on the baseball cap. And they got a call from a doctor. And he says, we can't do this. They're a terrible company. They did this horrible thing, and you can't ever do that again. And this is disgraceful. And their logo can't be anywhere. And I said, let me see if I got this straight. These guys messed up. They had a big settlement. society said you can't do it. Now you're going to have to pay in reputation and money. And we want you to change your ways, invest a bucket load of money, hire the right people, and become an example for all others. And they did exactly what we asked them to do as a society, and you want us to shun them.
Right.
I said, not going to happen here. And what I really wanted to tell them was, you have a choice. You can hang out with us or you cannot hang out with us. But if your $295 membership means you're going to dictate things like this, I'll send you your check back right away. That's pretty disappointing. I got to tell you, I think it's going to be really fascinating to see what the settlement amount is and what they finally agree upon was the total bribery amount, if not zero, we again alleged. But it started out at $50 million, if I remember correctly, and I imagine they're working behind the scenes to whittle down that number. Or
I'm sure they are, and you know, who knows at this point.
Let me see if I have... I wanted to bring up one other thing. It's a little less of a question than a statement. We have, at our two biggest meetings a year, fundraising for Wounded Warriors. Now, we don't work with the... started this a couple of years ago. We don't work with the Wounded Warriors organization. We had a member who had a son who was gravely injured. He's doing great today, but he had about, oh my gosh, a year or more of recuperation. It was rough, very rough. And we delegated to her, we wanted to be the spokesperson for this and help us organize it, pick who we sent the money to.
Right.
And she picked America's Fund because they're the organization that helped their family. And we've done a couple of these now. We've raised some pretty good money. But I just wanted to mention that Tom took me out to his car today to help him haul some stuff in, and it was football helmets and footballs and a baseball bat signed by people like Russell Wilson and Johnny Manziel and others, and he's donating it all to the one we're having in April.
Right.
And which would be at the Healthcare Compliance Association meeting in some city in this country. And there will be about 3,000 people there, and we're hopeful that we have another great silent auction, and we appreciate what you've given. And if anybody out there is going to that meeting or wants to contribute, get a hold of somebody in our office. They'll get you the right person right away. And I made a mirror out of, I built things out of reclaimed things. I built a mirror out of 40-year-old cow windbreak. Only in Minnesota would you do something like that. And I've donated that, and hopefully I'll get a couple more things done before the meeting.
Well, there was a silent auction at last year's CEI for SCCE, and I had some sports memorabilia, so I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to provide some of it. So hopefully there's some sports fans out there, and I'll donate some more for this year's CEI for the SCCE, which will be held in last week in September in Chicago, for a quick plug.
Yeah. And by the way, anybody who's listening who might be going to that meeting or might want to donate for that meeting, it's in the fall, in September, in Chicago, and it's another great opportunity. We're going to do this for about 3 or 4 years, and then we'll probably move on to something else. But obviously, the cause is just heartwarming. But it takes a few years to get these things off the ground and get a buzz and get people thinking, well, I didn't do it this year, but I saw how cool it was. I'm going to do it next year. I suspect in our third year, and certainly even here in this, our second year or fourth year, whatever, however long we do this, that we're going to have quite an even better turnout. And we're very excited, and we really appreciate what you've done. You know, there's a lot of stuff donated, but boy, every silent auction I've gone to, that sports memorabilia really seems to be a great motivator for people to bid things up. And if you come to that meeting, be sure to pay early and often.
Well, for those who need to know how to do it, just do like I did and stand next to the item you want. And anytime somebody comes up, if you can't elbow them out, and they actually increase the price bid by writing something down, just do like I did and immediately write another $50 above them. And then if they get snippy and say something, just write $500 above their last price and they'll walk away.
I got kind of carried away, and I wasn't going to be able to be there at the end. And so a couple hours before, I think I paid like $600 for a quilt, but the quilt was really cool. It was what's called as, there's a name for them where they do it for this purpose specifically, stars and stripes, and it's about the folks who serve. And I got that up in my cabin in the middle of nowhere, Canada, my favorite bed. And so I got a picture with the member who made the quilt, and so yeah, I sure hope we get we have a lot of fun with it. I think it's just another way to network. It's another way to have a little bit of fun. We're always trying to do something different, and this just is a good idea for a number of reasons.
Roy, unfortunately, we're near the end of our time again. This has been our first recording session in Houston, so I hope it's the first of many going forward.
Thank you, Tom. Big fun.